This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for GeekSpeak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
All right. There we go. Let's turn that down a little bit.
So what are the trends this week? What are you seeing? Seeing a lot of...
Every couple of weeks, and sometimes it seems to come in kind of in clusters. Yeah. I have to help one of my clients recover one of their emails, or some such thing. They get an attack ad on some website and are foolish enough to call the phone number. And
mm-hmm. Now, when you say an attack ad, what exactly does that look like?
So it's usually a full page kind of thing. It comes up and says, we're Microsoft or we're Apple or mm-hmm. or whatever, and or perhaps you've fat fingered some website and whatever,
got a letter or two wrong,
and yep. then an attack site comes up,
like if you go to goggle.com,
perhaps.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much traffic that site gets?
Yeah,
goggle.com.
So you have to be so careful anymore. Mm-hmm. Your computer's not going to come up and say, call Microsoft. You have a virus. That's just not how.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how Microsoft works. They don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So
tell me, have you seen the one that where basically your all of a sudden the mouse starts moving all by itself?
No,
you haven't seen that.
They
open up like a program and it runs and comes up with all this scary information and stuff. And you haven't heard of that before?
I don't think so.
It's a screensaver. Basically, it's a drive-by screensaver.
So it's like HTML, because I know you can make HTML look like a mouse and do uh-huh. And like run a video or be HTML and look like your desktop.
Yeah.
And all kinds.
No,
of
this is
things.
A screensaver that takes over, that launches from a drive-by, like on a website, and the mouse is moving around the screen and doing stuff, and people are absolutely convinced that their machine has been full on just hacked and broken into. And so, I guess I want to let people know that for one thing, the only way that somebody can actually get into your computer at that level, so that, like, they're actually moving the mouse around and doing stuff, is through some sort of a remote agent software. And some of the more popular ones are TeamViewer,
Log Me In.
Let's see, was it? I'm trying to think.
There's a whole slew of
yeah.
them. There's probably hundreds.
Yeah, but there's got to be some sort of a remote support agent running on your computer, and one of these scammers. One of the things that they'll do right off the bat is they'll direct you to go to a website that downloads a remote support agent onto your computer, and but you generally have to somewhere along the line say, yes, go ahead and let this be installed on my computer. And so if your computer just like all of a sudden, if you haven't been working with any kind of a, shadowy Russian figure who put a remote support thing on your computer or whatever, your computer just all of a sudden, like the mouse starts moving around and acting like it's being, this has been fully hacked. Chances are you've probably just picked up a malware screensaver that fully makes it look like that's happened. And it looks like we got a call.
Don't fall for it. You're on the air with the geeks.
Before you get any deeper into this other stuff, this is Craig and Rifle.
Craig and Rifle, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Lou?
I'm great. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, we've been with our local... Oh, let me turn the stereo off just a second.
Okay. He's a pro.
Yeah. No yeah. echoes.
Yeah.
I thought I had it down far enough, but I didn't.
No problem.
Anyway, we've been with our local internet group for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they're converting over to POP servers.
Really?
And it doesn't work with Android.
Really?
And if it does, I'm supposed to change the username because they changed the username. But the username is grayed out. And I cannot find a way anywhere to change the username on the incoming server.
Hmm.
You run across
this? This is on an Android phone? Is that what
you're
saying?
No, this is on an Android Galaxy tab.
Oh, okay.
It's still an Android.
So. Yeah.
It's still an Android platform.
Okay. Well, I'm blissfully going to pass this one over to Matt.
All right. I'm gonna see if it'll let. But, I'm gonna see if I have any IMAP or POP accounts on my phone right now. Yeah. I don't know that I do, so I'm gonna have to.
Well, that's so they're making you move over to POP.
They did the move. Yes. Do you know those gentlemen in Glenwood?
That seems very unusual.
Was that Roffentug?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Well, I'm gonna have to call and have a talk with those boys because. I can't think of a reason why. So were you using IMAP before?
I was using whatever they were using. I never messed with it. And then they changed over mine a year or so ago, but they didn't change over my wife's. And they did it a month ago, but they didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
And there was no email for a week. And I know it's POP because the server name is POP.
Okay, got it.
Emailserver.com.
Got it. So... What do you got, Matt?
Well, I'm still looking as to whether you can change an account type. So there's two, well, there's more than two, but the two common email connections that between your phone and, you know, somebody like Roffentug
or a tablet.
On your computer, on your phone, they're standard. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. So you have a POP, which is, let's see here.
Post Office Protocol.
That one was developed in the 80s or maybe even late 70s.
Yep.
It's been around forever. It works very well for what it does. Yep. The more recent one is called IMAP.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually your email provider is going to provide both POP and IMAP connectivity to their mail server.
Yes, and I did that because they told me to put IMAP in for the Galaxy for the Android,
mm-hmm.
but the box for username will not change. It's grayed, it's not active, and it will not recognize the old username.
So let me ask you, Craig, does this kind of ring a bell? Did you try to change the POP account on the fly over to IMAP?
Did I try to change the
did
POP
you try
account?
To,
did, yes, like, I did both.
Okay.
But if you look online, there are people going back for 9 or 10 years that on Android forums that say the same thing. They cannot change their username.
Got it. Because what I was going to say is what I've seen is if you originally set an account up with one or the other, and then you go in and you try to change it from whatever type it is to the other type, it won't let you do that. And things like having a username box get grayed out, it fits within my experience of things that happen when you try to do that. So what I'm saying is maybe try
making a new account,
just creating a whole new account from scratch.
And then what happened, because I've tried to do that, but because it's the same email address,
uh-huh.
it won't allow me to, it says this email address is already spoken for.
So then the question becomes, you know, do you have any emails like in the sent folder on your phone or anything like that that you don't want to lose?
Yes.
Okay.
A bunch.
Of course. So it becomes we need to transfer those somewhere outside of the POP account on the phone because POP doesn't automatically synchronize the sent folder like IMAP would.
Right. IMAP goes up back and forth.
Yeah, basically the way IMAP, the basic theory of it is that everything is kept on the server and you're using your device as a viewer of a folder structure that exists on the server, whereas with POP, the folder structure exists on your computer.
Or in this case, a phone.
It's kind of the analogy is like they call it Post Office Protocol. It's like running out to the curb, opening your mailbox, grabbing a handful of letters, clearing the mailbox out, shutting it, and going back into your house and putting them on your desk. And so whereas with IMAP, everything just collects in the mailbox and you just continue, like you just look at it, you know.
Right. So which one do you consider the improvement?
Well, I think
that they can have control of all your stuff.
Well, the thing about it is with IMAP, with POP, the thing that people run into a lot of times is they'll send something really important, and they'll forget which device they sent it from. And then a couple months down the road, somebody's trying to put one over on them or whatever, and they go into their sent items and are like, "Holy crap, man! That email to Joe Blow isn't there," you know. And it's with POP, everything, all of the sent items, there's no parity between the sent items folders and you know, across devices. So with IMAP, because all the devices are looking at the same set of folders on the server, then you've got 100% parity everywhere. So IMAP is really and IMAP then later on got kind of migrated into Gmail is actually a IMAP on steroids, and Hotmail and Yahoo Mail, and you know, they're all
right.
just kind
right.
of
right. They're all basically cloud services.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always kind of funny when I tell people, you know, oh, you need to move to a Gmail account, you know, or you need to move something to the cloud, and they'll say, oh, I don't want to go to the cloud. I'm like, I got news for you. If you've been using webmail, you've been in the cloud for years, baby.
You're so, living in a cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
So we gotta get you backed up.
Do I lose the stuff that's on the that's already on the tablet?
Yes. It's very likely. So that's why I asked if you had stuff in the sent folder, because that's the one that you know you're not going to have a copy of anywhere else. The emails that you've sent from the tablet and the sent folder only exist on that tablet.
Correct.
So we need to get that folder migrated somewhere. So if you have like a secondary email address, like if you have a throwaway Google account that you use for surfing the internet or you know for like online orders or something like that. You know, if you have a secondary account, you could connect the IMAP to that, and then you can take the folder from your POP account and put it to IMAP, and that'll put it up onto that server. Then you have a copy of it that you can pull down anywhere else you'd like.
Except I can't get email to work at all on the tablet to
right.
send it.
Yeah. Ugh. Do you have a PC that you back that device up to or sync it to?
About five of them I could.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I would do is I'd look for, there's probably some software that will allow you to migrate the mail folders from the tablet over to your to one of your PCs.
Okay, even though it's a different protocol than
right,
Thunderbird
because email is stored in either MBOX or EML files.
Yeah, they're universal formats.
There's two universal formats, and pretty much everything speaks those two formats one way or another. So it's just a matter of figuring out how to get either the inbox files or the EML files off of the phone into something that knows how to deal with them. And, you know, so like you could put them in Thunderbird or something like that, and that'll deal with those for you.
Gotcha. I will try that.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You know who to call if you need on-site help.
I know who to email. Bye, Louis.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call with your questions. And
it was good to hear from Craig and Rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always got really good, you know, down and dirty questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so.
Yeah. I came across an article that there may be relief in the future for ransomware. And that was really good news. We were having a lot of fun reading that article, but I guess this organization based out of Italy is going to be rolling out. Let's see, what's the date on this article? Make sure I'm not
too far behind.
Looks like it's today, dated today. So I guess the Black Hat Security Conference is this week. Do you know about that in Las Vegas?
I really want to go to that DEF CON. Yeah.
Yeah,
it looks like a very interesting.
Yeah.
And, a very interesting place to be.
Oh, it looks like we have another call there. Right. Let's see if it's our foreign correspondent.
Right. You're on with the geeks.
Hey, guys. It's Donna. How are you?
We're doing good. Very well. I just predicted that it was you.
Oh, did you? That's funny.
I did.
I haven't been able to listen yet, I'm not sure what I'm interrupting. Anything good?
I was just getting ready to, or just kind of browsing through an article that there's a company based out of Italy that is going to be rolling out a new anti-ransomware. It's basically a, what are they calling it? A clever new tool shuts down ransomware before it's too late. And it, I guess, you know, when this software sits there and it doesn't, it's not a regular antivirus program, but it kind of sits there and is just kind of quietly watches.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of like in between a sandbox and a new concept. So
yeah, so it sits there and quietly watches, and when a new process starts up, it goes into what they call observation mode, and it sits there and watches it for a little bit, to, you know, to see what it's doing and what files it's accessing. And if it fits certain heuristics, certain characteristics of a ransomware type of attack, then it goes ahead and immediately shuts it down. And it also has the ability to restore from shadow copies immediately any files that it may have encrypted. So
that's great.
Yeah, it really is. It's about time. So it's, anyway, that's what we were talking about. So. Yeah, you wanted to talk about translation programs. Is that
you know, yeah? It's interesting. I was traveling in Germany last week, and I caught a taxi, actually from the airport, mm-hmm. and the driver did not speak English, but he had a translation app that he opened, and he could talk into the app, hand the phone to me, and it translated what he said, and then I could talk in the app, and then it and then give it back to him, and he could read it.
Oh, that's
of course,
very cool.
While he was driving.
So it put it into text what he said.
Then? Yes, it okay. put it. Yes, so All I right. could see his. Yeah, it was really mm-hmm. cool, and I didn't get to see the app, what the app name was, because you know
it was in German, right?
It was in German, yeah. exactly. Yeah. But I'm really curious if anybody has ever used an app like that, because I had Google Translate. And, you know, I could text it in there. I haven't tried Google Translate. If you could talk into it, can you? Let's see. I guess I could pull it up on my computer right quick. I just have never tried that. I've always just... The other thing that somebody on the trip had done was they took a picture of a German menu, and it translated it
okay.
into English.
Got it.
These are pretty fantastic things that are out there.
They are.
That can,
because, the number one thing that I felt like interfered with, you know, the forming of relationships with, because, you know, I met a bunch of my relatives over in France. And I just think how much closer of a relationship I would have had, you know, if everything that was said didn't go through through another person. You know?
Right.
And,
right.
So, and thank God we had a couple of really good translators there when we met these folks. And, but, you know, nonetheless, here, there's always that kind of, you know, going, God, I wish I could just talk to them.
I wish that we had a translation app for talking to, you know, I don't know, millennials or something.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding.
Nice. Yo, bro. Nice. That's great.
Anyway, yeah. So if anybody who's listening knows of a translation app like the one I'm mentioning, I would really like to know mm-hmm. what that was. I've kind of been looking around, but you know, you never know which ones are good ones, right?
Uh-huh.
It's fine to try yep. the free ones, but
well, you
anyway.
Know, I'm looking at one that's got 4.5 stars. It's a free app called Translate Voice Free.
Oh, okay.
And it's called the most powerful free voice translator app, according to them.
So. Well, you will have to find somebody who speaks another language in order to uh-huh. see how well it works.
You don't just think one of my teenagers would work?
Do they speak French or German?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Or millennial or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like there's one called Google Translate, and I just...
Yes, that's one I had, but can you speak into it?
Well, I just said, okay, Google, and said, translate, take me to Berlin in German. And
oh, okay.
And it gave me an audio output, so you could see you could see it in English, and then you could see it in German, then it gave you a little button to push to play it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, mine has a microphone on there.
Yeah.
It says tap to enter text, and then there is a microphone, or it looks like I could also handwrite it.
Yeah.
Or, and there is a little photo icon too. So maybe it will if I take a picture of something. Maybe that will work as well.
What are you saying? If you take a picture of something, it'll come pop up and tell you what it's called in German?
Yes, like somebody, we were at dinner and somebody took a picture of the menu.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant like you take a picture of a dumpling and it'd come up and tell you what how to say dumpling in German or something.
No. Oh, gosh, that's funny. Yeah. No, but anyway, so I'm looking forward to coming out and I'll see you guys, next week.
Definitely. Yeah. So, all right. Well, safe travels, okay?
Okay, thanks. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Have
Take
a good
care.
Day.
Right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Got time for one more caller, I think.
Yeah.
Or two really, really easy problems.
Yeah.
So two people who need to be told, have you tried turning it off and back on again?
Yeah.
So we haven't had to say that for a while.
Yeah.
People are kind of getting it.
So. Yeah. Or just throw your printer away.
No, actually, you remember that scene in Office Space where they take it out with the baseball bats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried to reenact that scene, but the printers are far too tough for a baseball bat.
Really?
Well, at least the old ones, late 90s printers that I've destroyed.
You could end up at the orthopedist afterwards.
Yeah, it's like hitting a movable object nearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have a big, the plastic comes off okay, but they have a big, heavy metal case in there, the old ones. Yeah. The new ones are almost all plastic, so you might be able to get away with it.
Maybe a sledgehammer.
Yeah, I got a 20-pounder for ones that are real trouble.
Okay. Real trouble.
I call it Mr. Smashy.
Okay, Mr. Smashy.
So it's like, no, we need to use Mr. Smashy on this one.
Have you ever tried opening a hard drive before?
I take the neodymium magnets out of the arbors.
Okay, got it. So. I did a project with a bunch of kids at the community school one year where I brought in a toolbox and a bunch of hard drives, and we tore them apart. And there are probably pieces of those hard drives embedded in the walls of that classroom to this day. So, another caller.
All right. So. You're on with the geeks.
Well, my question's a little off topic.
Sure. Go ahead.
But can we have the lyrics to that Korn song? We really liked it, but we couldn't hear all the lyrics.
Okay. All right. Well, tell you what. I will post it in a public place, and next week, I'll give I'll give you the URL for it. Okay.
That's great. Thanks
all right.
a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Talking about corn.
Yes.
All right.
It's America's favorite food.
Probably is. Also, your cars.
Yeah.
Since about 30-40% of it gets turned into ethanol for your. For the 10% they put into the gasoline.
Yep.
Another call. All right. Yeah. Got a few more minutes. You're on with Geeks.
I'm wondering if you guys know anything about digital audio workstation software.
You're looking
some of the free ones out there like Reaper and what kind of hardware requirements as far as, some of them aren't super specific. I'm wondering if you have shed any
Sure.
light.
Well, I actually have a friend that uses Reaper, and he has turned out some absolutely top-notch demo tracks with it that I've played for other people, and they went, what studio did you do this in?
Yeah.
And
sure.
So there's a really good endorsement right there. But, I think, it's basically if you know how to use... if you know how to record audio, if you know the basic tenets of it, and getting proper levels and getting good saturation to start out with, then just about any software is going to work well for you. But I would definitely go down the Reaper path, for sure.
Yep. And how do you feel about it on the hardware end? Because Reaper doesn't seem to be super specific about like the kind of processor that they require necessarily.
Well, the big part on that is going to be how many tracks you're going to be running at the same time. So we'll have to continue this next week. Yeah. But,
sure.
Basic hardware we'll do to a couple tracks very, very easily. I mean,
gotcha.
Your phone's powerful enough to do that. So any computer is going to be good for a few basic tracks. All right, you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
I'm your host, Matt McBear, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie, the computer guy.
You guys have a great week.
You guys as well.